coming home from church, the car on spinning around on the ice, not far from our house, and sliding off in the pasture field. And Dad had to go get the tractor and get us back up in the ice and snow and all like that. But we went to church, and I just grew up that way. And if I'm sick and not able to go to church, I just don't feel right. The whole week's bad, and it will help you in that kind of way. And you know that. I don't have to tell you all that. But David, I was glad when they said, "Let us go up to the house of the Lord to worship." So I delight in that. And then we came back to trust again in verse 5. Commit your way unto the Lord. We talked about the vision in the original language, the idea of roll off onto God your problems and your worries and your cares, and he will bring it to pass. Just trust him. And then we looked this morning at resting in the Lord. Just lay it down. He's in charge. You're not in charge. My grandma told me that when my dad was a little boy, that every once in a while he would break one of his toys, and then he'd say, "Oh, well, Daddy fix it." And that should be my attitude as a child of God. God's going to fix it. He's in charge. I just need to do my part. I just need to do what he wants me to do and let him take care of the rest of it. I had a real good friend lots of years ago. His name was Glenn Shockey. And Glenn did not grow up in the church. He was 21 before he was baptized into Christ. He'd been in the army. He'd been into mischief, different things. But once he found the Lord, he relished that relationship and became a great soul winner. I was on my first campaign just out of school. I tried to lead one in the congregation where I was working and hadn't done any, we had never baptized anybody. We knocked on a lot of doors. One lady said I ran her son out of town with the Bible study, but I never baptized anybody until I'd moved to Parkersburg, West Virginia, Rick. And Glenn Shockey, did you know Glenn? He was at Camden Avenue. Clarence Delos was the preacher at the big congregation in town at the time, and he was having a campaign over in Webster Springs, West Virginia. And I went on the campaign, my first one, and he put me with Glenn Shockey. And Glenn only had an eighth grade education, I believe. Like I said, he didn't become a Christian when he was 21. But at that time, he'd already won 100 souls to Christ. And one of the things that he would say is, "I can't do big things. I just do the little things that I can do, and God makes big things out of them." And that has affected me tremendously. I just need to do the little things I can do, and God will make big things out of them. Disaster relief's a great example. I have no idea how to do almost everything that's done there. And yet I'm the president. I can't keep my own checkbook very good. But we have spotless records. The U.S. government has never had a problem with any time. In fact, they will tell companies or businesses that are interested in getting into relief work that you need to go study Churches of Christ Disaster Relief. They're the best there is. And we are. But it's not because of me. God brings to us what we need. He never gives us an assignment we can't do. He's not going to do that. Because like Paul says, I do all things through Christ who strengthens me. It's not us, it's him. And that's what this is saying. You just rest in the Lord, verse 7, and wait patiently for him. Let him do it on his time. And here's this business of fretting again in verse 7. Do not fret because of him who prospers in his way. Do you ever notice sometimes the bad people seem to be winning? You ever notice that in government? You ever notice that in your neighborhood? Wherever you work, do you ever notice that? Don't fret about that. Now, this is another time we've been warned about fretting. I just need to trust the Lord. He'll take care of things. And then it says, do not fret because of him who prospers in his way, because the man who brings wicked schemes to pass. Don't fret about that. Cease from anger. Forsake wrath. You know why you get mad in a fight? Usually because you're losing. That's why you get mad. You ever watch a ball team get into a fight? Patty's dad was minor league professional ball player through his, was it his knee or his arm? He was a pitcher. His knee, and had to quit, and it disqualified him from military service, and he never got over that. He felt so bad that he couldn't serve his country, and try to protect his family through that means. But he was a man that was a very calm kind of man, and that's not my nature. I have to work at this. Cease from anger. Learn not to fret. Learn to forsake wrath. You don't need to do that. You don't need to do that. But anyway, he would say sometimes when the games were dull, they'd get in a fight just to entertain the crowd. But usually, if you'll notice, it's when somebody's losing that they'll get mad. They'll get upset. They'll get angry. And the Apostle Paul tries to teach us about that. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. And that's just a great message. That's just a great message. I remember when Patty and I started my preaching between my freshman and sophomore year. There was a congregation back up in Ohio where I lived that was between preachers, and they hired me to preach for them through the summer until I went back to Lipscomb. And so I began my preaching career about 1 year before we got married. And I didn't much more get back to Lipscomb until the Tompkinsville congregation in Tompkinsville, Kentucky, hired me to preach for some little country churches out there. And so we were married on June the 6th of 1964, and I began preaching at the Ebenezer congregation in Ebenezer, Kentucky, the next Sunday. And I got up and I introduced myself. I didn't know them. They didn't know me. It's a beautiful little white church sitting up high on a hill. Just a beautiful, picturesque kind of situation, and some wonderful people we still remember and talk about. But I got up and I introduced myself. I'm John Miller, and this is my wife, Patsy Seat. I didn't even give her her married name. Now, I don't know. That's how green I was, that where we started out like that. But I remember there were four little churches that I was preaching for out in the country, and they all knew we were newlyweds, and they'd all come around and give us advice and encouragement. And I remember this one lady said to us one day, as I was back there shaking hands, and they was coming out, and they was bragging on my sermon like they're supposed to do, till this one lady comes out, and she says to me, "Don't ever go to bed mad." And I tried to live up to that. And I think that's still true, isn't it, Patty? I don't think, we almost did here a while back. We had one. But I wouldn't give up. I'd pester her until we'd kiss and make up, and then we can go to sleep. you just don't want to let things fester. You don't want to let them. You don't want to let them. You can get a little splinter in your hand, and if you don't take care of that thing, it can get into an infection, and it can get really serious. You know, and you don't want to let that happen in your relationships. And the sooner you can learn to tame your temper, the better off you are. I did a lot of counseling with lots of folks, and one of the things I had to work with lots and lots of folks was how to deal with your anger management. And you need to learn to do that. It's really important. And if you're going to have a meek and quiet spirit, you can't go around blowing your top every 5 minutes. You can't do that. You've got to get that under control. And you got to remember, like my daddy said when he was just a little boy, "Oh well, daddy, fix it." Turn it over to your father. Take it to him in prayer. Talk to him about it. We were talking about this at Alisoni here a while back, and I may have told you this, and I like this one so well. We were talking about dealing with our temper in our homes and families, and our song leader, he spoke up, and he said, "Well, whenever my wife and I have a disagreement," he says, "I go out, and I throw a rock in the pond." He said, now the pond is just a solid bunch of rocks. No water anymore. You've got to learn what to do with that temper, and don't take it out on one another. Our preacher's meetings we have on third Mondays of the month, one of the things we have is a stress in ministry session, a one-hour session. It's the biggest thing we do in the whole deal. And we have some rules in there. You can bring up anything you want to. You're entitled to your feelings. You can be mad, sad, or glad, but don't hurt anybody or break the furniture. And that's some of the things that we deal with in there. And that's good in your home. When you're mad, you're apt to say things you will never be able to take back. Especially if you talk about her mother. Don't do that. Don't attack people's person. Don't do that. Don't do that. There's a passage that I quote regularly. It's Ecclesiastes 7 and 9. Would you turn over there with me, please? Ecclesiastes. Remember, that book is the preacher. Solomon is going to tell you some things that are very important for you in order to be successful in life in the book of Ecclesiastes. And he says in verse 9 of chapter 7, do not hasten in your spirit to be angry, for anger rests in the bosom of fools. The many foolish things I do, many of them are done when I'm angry. When I'm tired, I can get angry. How about you? I've made a policy. I try not to fix things on Monday. After Sunday, I'm tired. I'm wore out. And I can get angry. And I've learned if I try to fix it on Monday, I'll probably break it worse. Wait till Tuesday. Learn to make adjustments for yourself. Whatever you need to do. Learn how to handle your anger. It can cause nothing but harm. And that's why Paul warns us, be ye angry and sin not. It's like being drunk. You have to do something you wouldn't normally do. Be ye angry and sin not. And don't let the sun go down on your wrath. Don't let that happen. Don't let that happen. And he brings that up here. See, there's no reason to be angry if God's in charge. And if he's going to work all things together for good, what are you getting mad about? There's no reason to do that. Don't you wish our world had that today, that philosophy today? You see political parties just at each other's throats. You'll see issues that people are just at each other's throats about it. That's not the way to solve things. Cease from anger. Forsake wrath, verse 8. Do not fret. It only causes harm. Do you know that's true? Do you know how much harm you do to your physical body by fretting? Years ago, I heard this statistic. 80% of the people that are in the hospital are there because of their thinking. You can raise your blood pressure. Cancer even can be caused by resentment. I've known of people that were so jealous, they killed themselves with it. There has been some studies done, and there are some folks who recommend how to cure from cancer. And one of the things they say you need to do is you need to forgive everybody in your life of anything they've ever done to you. You need to let that go. And learn to laugh. Some folks have cured themselves by watching Laurel and Hardy movies. I'm serious. There have been books that are being written about that. That we cause most of our diseases. And many of them through our thought pattern. And isn't it interesting? Here's pre-scientific knowledge in the scriptures. David knew that fretting hurt you. Not only will it hurt you, it will hurt others. You will teach others to be fretful. You'll teach your children, your grandchildren to do that. It becomes a family trait handed down. I know I come from a worrying family. And one of the hardest things for me to learn is don't worry about stuff. Let it go. Go on. Trust God. Do the best you can. Forgive yourself. One of the hardest people to forgive is yourself. You're going to have to learn to be merciful to yourself. Do not fret. It only causes harm. In order to have that meek and quiet spirit, I'm going to have to learn to let things go. What you said to me, what you did to me, if I hold that in my heart as a grudge, or I'm going to be killing myself as well as other people. I remember Brother Basil Barrett Baxter had a lesson on as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. He had a whole series on this. I remember in one of the lessons he was talking about this matter of anger and resentment, and he told of an experience the Russians had performed. They took a baby monkey from his mother, a chimpanzee. I guess that's not a real monkey. But anyway, took a little baby chimpanzee from his mother and put it in another cage right beside his mother. And they gave its mother another baby chimpanzee. And he saw that other little baby getting the love that was due to him. And with rage, he would shake the cage and just throw awful fits. Now, they fed that little monkey. But he died of hardening of the arteries in a few months. Rage will kill you. And you're apt to kill somebody else. You hear about all this domestic abuse? Those are some folks that need to learn this passage. Cease from anger. Forsake wrath. It only causes harm. There's people in prison because they killed folks in anger. Churches are torn up by people getting mad because they didn't get their way. I used to get this preaching magazine, and it would have cartoons in it. And this one, the preacher's on his phone, and this is back before we had the cell phones, so he's on the regular phone. His wife called in because the meeting's going on so long. Says, I'll be home in just a little bit, dear. I think the meeting is about to break up. And one guy's got another guy by his tie, and he's drawing up here and getting ready to slug him. Another one has another fella over the table, and he's ready to hit him with a chair. Church meeting. sorry, Vic. It's a cartoon. It's a cartoon, okay? But a lot of times, church trouble and all, I've seen church trouble make the community so unfertile. Nobody wants to be a part of a fighting church. Nobody wants to be. And I've seen some ugly, ugly stuff. Cease from anger. Forsake wrath. It only causes harm. We say all day on that. And do not fret. It only causes harm. For evildoers will be cut off. But those who wait on the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. There it is. He's going to use this a number of times, this idea of inheritance. Not something that you got by your own strength, by your own cleverness, not something that you got on yourself, but you inherited it. Have you ever inherited anything? Some of us may have inherited a lot. They say this next generation is going to inherit the greatest amount of money of any generation, and they'll spend it all in 18 months. haven't been taught how to take care of things. I've inherited something from a grandfather. My grandfather and grandmother planned to not only give to their children, but also to their grandchildren. And my father had died before they did, and so they took his portion and split it up among my sister, my brother, and I. It wasn't a very large sum of money by today's comparison, a few thousand dollars. But I didn't do anything for that other than be their son. Well, guess what? God has a great inheritance for you. And according to what David says, today, right now, he gives you things that you didn't earn them. Just because you were his child, just because you were living for him, you will inherit things. You will receive blessings. In fact, that's where we're going to get to when you learn to be a meek individual. And that's coming right up. Now, we're almost there. I keep threatening. We're almost to verse 11. And let's go ahead and do that verse, verse 11. We're going to skip here about the evil ones. Look at verse 11. But the meek shall inherit the earth. They shall inherit the earth. He's going to take care of us. God will take care of us. And here's another delight. We're talking about delighting this morning. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. You remember that a little earlier? I told you there's more delight in this passage. Here's the second one. And shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. How do you like peace? I love it. I love it that I don't have to go around with my guard up with Patty. I don't have to do that. Your home can be like a safe harbor for you. It can be a healing place. One of the things that I have striven for wherever I preached is that we'd be a peaceful congregation. And I've seen people come hurting and bleeding from problems and hurts they've had other places to that safe place where they can heal. I can think of a number of leaders that I've seen do that. And we need to be a place of healing. We're a hospital, not a museum. And your home needs to be that. It needs to be the place you can go to. And you can be yourself and enjoy the peace. Yes, the meek will delight themselves with peace. It is the abundant life. Learning to have that meek and quiet spirit. These are such beautiful verses. And this will help lead us to that purity of heart that we need. Because we realize we have enough. God's taking care of us. We can trust him with today. We can trust him to tomorrow. We can trust him for the next doctor's appointment we go to and we don't quite know what's going to happen. We can trust him. He's there. He hadn't left. Whatever the situation, I can rely on him. I hope you have that beautiful peace. As I said, this is such a great, rich chapter. And we haven't come to the best part yet. But we will. We will. Tonight. I hope you are at peace with the Lord. I hope you can lay down your head tonight and you can pray like a little child. And if I die before I wake, I pray, dear Lord, my soul to take. And you can fall asleep, turning all your cares over to Him. Roll them off on Him. It's better than taking NyQuil. Sleep till the sunrise and get up and serve Him one more day. That's what the Christian life's about, isn't it? That's what our marriage is about. We get to love each other one more day. And oftentimes I thank Patty for being my wife today. And I thank my Lord for being my Savior today. Ah, you'll delight in peace. Tonight, if you don't have that, won't you come and let us pray with you? Let us help you in whatever way we need while together we stand to sing.